We cross to the BBC in London now to speak with senior journalist Audrey Tinlin. Good morning, Audrey.
Hello, good afternoon. Just about here.
Great. Is it cooled down in London?
Yeah, we've been having some very hot spikes, actually. Yeah, last one, I think, Friday, but it's gone back to normal British summer now.
Pleased about that, or would you rather that it was hot?
Oh, no, it was too hot.
Was
it?
Hot.
We're not really set up for it in this country.
I was looking at the pictures, actually. The beaches were mad.
Yeah, it's been really, really busy, actually. Some of those at the weekend, at the end of last week, when we had that really hot day, Brighton on the south coast, the council there actually said, if you're not already in Brighton, this was halfway through the day, don't come, because it was officially full up.
Yeah, and there was a lot of comment, of course, about lack of social distancing, lack of wearing masks, people just getting out and getting on with it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, on the beaches, I mean, outside in public places, masks are not mandated in this country at all. It's only indoors in some public places where we have to wear them. And, you know, a lot of people, it's a cultural thing, I suppose, but also it's just, you know, an education thing. A lot of people don't want to wear them at the moment outside. Some people are not too keen inside, but compliance is getting much better inside. And in fact, you have to do it now in shops and you have to do it in restaurants, except if you're actually eating your food. So, you know, it's getting better, but beaches and countryside have been busy. The government's been giving the message it wants people to go on their holidays. We need people to spend in tourist areas, but the tourist towns have been a bit nervous about the visitors coming.
Yes, and hard to get into Europe these days, and nobody really wants to go anyway. And an upsurge in coronavirus cases in many countries around the world that seem to be doing quite well to keep the virus down. And Germany's one of those. And they've announced this week compulsory testing at airports.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, for Europe, Germany has done relatively well. Of course, Karen, it's nowhere near what you've done in New Zealand, which is extraordinary in the world. I mean, Germany has kept the cases lower than most places, but the cases have started to go up again. It's running at around 900 new infections every day now. So from this week, they're going to be mandatory testing for everybody coming from high-risk regions. Now, that's about 130 countries or regions, and some countries they can't come at all. So they'll be testing everyone. Also in France, they've just announced that they're starting mandatory testing for some countries, around 12 countries. But it's different rules in different parts of Europe, and it is a bit confusing for people who want to go back and forward between European countries. What do I need to do? Where will I get tested? Where do I need to quarantine? These rules are different all over the place.
Well, Germany, not really a huge holiday destination. So it'd be more people who'd be going for business, going back home.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I think a lot of it is their own people who will be coming back home. Germans are very fond of going on holiday. A lot of them have gone to Spain recently. They're really keen on Spanish holidays, get that a nice hot weather at the seaside. But they've now found that coming back or even mid-holiday, those Spanish areas have been designated as areas they shouldn't actually be any longer travelling to. So they come back, they'll have to have a mandatory test or a quarantine.
And how are they feeling about that in Germany? Has there been much response, much kickback?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because over the weekend, there's been a very large demonstration taking place in Berlin, where hundreds and hundreds of people came out onto the streets and said that we are now fed up with these coronavirus restrictions. These were people who don't want to wear masks or people who don't want other restrictions on their lives. It must be said that the largest numbers of Germans are complying with the restrictions, and they want to see, you know, the government control the virus, as it has been able to do much better than other European countries. So most are for it, but there were those demonstrations with sort of activist groups on all sides. We had right wing, you also had left wing groups, you had what might be called conspiracy theorists, you know, people out on the streets who didn't want to wear masks.
They were hoping to bring in 500,000, I believe, but nothing like that number on the streets.
Yeah, yeah. The numbers weren't there. They were, you know, there were thousands there, but I don't know. 500,000 wasn't a number that I've seen, no.
Let's go to Italy now. And how are they faring?
Well, Italy had a terrible time, as we all know. I mean, during the height of the coronavirus in March, the country's hospitals in the north especially were really overwhelmed and they had a terrible time. But again, they've done relatively well at keeping the cases down. They're reasonably happy that that they're not getting the spike that might have been expected. What's happening now, though, is more young people are contracting the virus than older people. The average age of new cases has dropped from 61 at the height of the pandemic to 42 years old now. So infections are happening, but maybe not the hospitalizations and sadly the deaths in the same number. So Italy's feeling a bit better about the virus. It's feeling extremely concerned about its economy. It's one of the worst in Europe and it's been badly hit. And today they're marking a moment which is being seen as a moment of hope for the country because they're reopening. Well, they built a new bridge in the port city of Genoa. You might remember 2 years ago there was a terrible bridge collapse when 43 people were killed. And, you know, basically the bridge crumbled. It had been getting old. It had been having repairs over many years, but no one expected that. So the whole thing's been rebuilt now by a well-known architect, Renzo Piano. He was behind the Pompidou Centre in Paris. And it's being inaugurated by their president. And they're seeing this as a moment when they're showing themselves as a country that we can do something, we can rebuild, and we'll try and get back on track.
Good to hear. And I was also reading in Belarus that Alexander Lukashenko has coronavirus.
Well, Alexander Lukashenko said last week that he had coronavirus. I don't think there's been independent corroboration of this. He said he'd had coronavirus and he'd recovered. Now, Alexander Lukashenko, who some people call the last dictator of Europe, has been in power there for 26 years. He's a powerful and he's a controversial figure there. He's been very much someone who's wanted to play down hugely coronavirus. He said during the epidemic there, which is really still going on, that if you drank more vodka, you could keep it away. I mean, that may have been a joke, but it was indicative of his attitude to it. So he's been playing it down, and this has caused people, understandably in his country, some people to get very sort of annoyed, very upset, very angry. And younger people have again taken to the streets about in reaction to what he's been saying. And they have an election coming up this weekend where he could see a challenge to his power along the lines of the sort of challenge that he really hasn't seen in his 26 years. So lots of people are watching what's happening there.
Does it look like he's going to be out?
Well, it's 26 years and he's won a number of elections. So, you know, every single election he wins, and most times these are not counted as free and fair elections by OECD observers. But what's happening there is he's being challenged now by a young woman called Svetlana Tikhanovskaya. And she is standing in the place of her husband because her husband's the politician in the family. He was put in prison. This is happening to lots of opposition politicians in the country. So she's gathered a lot of support behind her. And, you know, observers are saying this is a very interesting moment for Lukashenko because he's under pressure within his own country. He's also had a bit of a falling out with Russia, which is a country that he's been very close to over the years. So it's an interesting moment. And this is a country which is kind of pivotal because it's right in between Russia on the one side, Poland, which is part of the EU and NATO, on the other side. So which way Belarus goes is something that a lot of people in Europe are watching.
Elections on the 9th of August, so not long to wait now.
Yep, that's coming up at the weekend. So we might be able to give you an update when one of us speaks to you next week.
Oh, wonderful, Audrey. Thank you. Great to talk to you this afternoon. What time is it in London at the moment?
It's about 11:45, so coming up to lunchtime.
Very good. It's about 17 minutes to 11 in the evening. Wonderful. Thanks, Audrey.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's Audrey Tinlin, BBC senior journalist.